This is the opening plenary address from Atlanta 05, the National Conference of InterVarsity's Black Campus Ministry. The conference theme is Identity Theft, Expose, Reclaim, Prevail. And the opening address by Harvey Kozart is entitled, Why We Are Here. Harvey Kozart is an InterVarsity campus staff member at his alma mater, Eastern Kentucky University, as well as at the University of Kentucky. He challenged the audience at Atlanta 05 to consider where they found their identity as Christians.
Is your identity in stuff or is it in Him? Is your identity in your career or is it in the cross? Where are you? God delights in giving us purpose, amen? He delights in giving us hope and a future, amen? You see, when you have an identity, when you know who you are and you know where you're going, when you got purpose in mind, you can lay down things to follow Him. Amen?
He said that God calls us to understand our identity from His perspective.
You see, some of our identities are just jacked up, if we want to be honest. Amen? We don't know who we are or whose we are. Amen? And so we're looking constantly for somebody to tell us who we are. But it's when Jesus shows up on the scene, it's only when we can really understand whose we are and who we are.
Here now is Harvey Kozart with the opening plenary from Atlanta 05.
Why don't y'all just give Jesus another hand clap of praise for He's so good. Amen. He is definitely worthy of all praise. Amen.
Yeah.
He is worthy to be praised. And I'm so glad and thankful for this opportunity. Praise the Lord. As my brother Myron said, I do have a son. His name is Isaiah. And a wonderful son. He's actually 4 years old. I love to talk about my son Isaiah and my wife. My son is actually 4 years old now. And he's over 4 feet tall at 4 years old. Can you believe that? Over 4 feet tall. He's 55 pounds. And not only is he 55 pounds, but he wears a size 2 in boy's shoes. Amen? He's left-handed. When we actually took him to the doctor when he was 2 years old, we took him to the doctor to talk about his growth. And they predicted his growth, his height, by the time he's 21, he would be 6 feet, 8 inches tall. Now, I want everybody to say $68 million with me. Just say $68 million, amen? Amen. I believe he's my son is our ticket, amen? we're going to love him, man. We're not going to treat him bad or anything, you know? Do whatever you want to, you know? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad you are here. Amen. And I know that many of you have worked hard to get here. Some of you had some late flights. Amen. Some of you traveled long distances. Amen. Even in the midst of car situations, car problems. Amen. You're still here. Amen. You had top problems with money, but you're here. Amen. Some of you got scholarships and you're here. Amen. You need to give the Lord a hand clap of thanks or praise that you are here at this place. Amen. You had some hardship and some hard times trying to get here, but you are here. Amen. You are here. And I want you to ask this question now that you are here. Why are you here? Why are you here at this place at this time? I want you to ask that question. Why? My son loves to ask questions. He's at this stage now where he's always saying, why, Daddy? Why? 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 And he says it so much. I'm like, son, get the encyclopedia. You know, you're 4 years old. You can read it, you know. He's always asking why. But the Lord began to speak to me about that why. He said, a person that asks questions is a person that's seeking for answers. And the reason you ask questions is because you are in search of something. Amen?
And so we ask the question, why are you here? Because we are seeking and searching for an answer. And the only way that we're going to get that answer is through the word of God. Amen? So we want to turn to Luke chapter 5. I want to briefly talk about this thing. Why are we here? What are we doing here at this place? And I think we can learn a lot as we look at Luke chapter 5 about the reason why we're here. Amen? I want to just read this briefly to you all. And after I read this, I just want us to kind of look into this text and see what God is saying in his word. Let me read this. Luke 5, 1 through 11. It says, one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water. Somebody say deep water. Deep water. And let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that the boats began to sink. When Simon saw this, somebody say saw this. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything. Somebody say left everything. And followed him. Amen. Why are we here? Let me give you just a little background here before I get into this passage. You see, this is not Peter's first meeting with Jesus. As we look in Luke chapter 4, he has a meeting with Jesus where Jesus actually heals Peter's mother-in-law. And not only does he heal Peter's mother-in-law, but he brings people into Peter's house, and all night long Jesus heals people. So Peter has seen Jesus do some miraculous things. But it so happens that Peter had been fishing all night long, and they hadn't caught anything. So now it is morning, and they're washing their nets. And it just so happens that Jesus shows up by the shore teaching the word of God. Somebody say teaching. Now, it's not by coincidence nor by accident that Jesus just happens to show up at the same time that Peter's washing his nets. Amen. But there's a purpose in mind. And so Jesus sees two boats and he chooses the boat that belongs to Peter. Now, this is not just a thing that Jesus just happens to make this choice, but Jesus has a purpose by which why he chooses Peter's boat. Amen. Because he knows him, has some kind of relationship with him. So he chooses this boat and he gets on the boat that's belonging to Peter, and he teaches from Peter's boat. One thing that this is showing me is that Jesus delights in pursuing us. He's at Peter's mother-in-law's house, and now all of a sudden, hey, there's Jesus on the shore right as Peter's washing his nets, desiring to pursue us. Amen. But more than desiring to pursue us, this is telling me that Jesus desires that Peter would encounter him. You see, one of the reasons that we're here at this conference, I believe, is that we are to have an encounter with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Just as Peter was getting ready to have an encounter with Jesus, we are here at this conference so that we will encounter God as well. Amen? And it's not by accident or coincidence that you're here at this place at this hour. Amen? Now, some of you might have said, well, my friend invited me to this conference. That's why I came. Or I had some other people that told me, or my staff worker told me, or I want to see some friends of mine that I hadn't seen in a long time. Amen. But the reason that you're here at this place is that you would have an encounter with Jesus. And not only that you yourself personally would have that encounter, but we all would encounter Jesus as a community. Amen. Jesus desires for us to encounter him together as in a community. Why a community? What is it about encountering God as a community? You see, the thing about God is God loves people for himself. He delights in revealing himself to people. If you notice, Jesus, God never said that I'll choose a person for myself, but he said I'll choose a people for myself. Amen? God wants to show up in a community in that, so that we can be changed and be transformed as a community. Amen? As I was preparing for this, I was thinking about how God people had encounters with God in community. And one of the things that came up to my mind was the encounter. Some of you might know this about a young black preacher by the name of Wim Joseph Seymour that preached out west at a little abandoned church, amen, on 312 Azusa Street, amen. In the early 1900s, him and just a couple of people in a prayer meeting, amen. And that prayer meeting turned to a revival, amen. And that's one known as one of the greatest revivals in America to this day, amen. See, the thing about it is something about community. When we come together to worship God and have an encounter with God, I believe revival is waiting to happen, amen. And God wants to transform us in such a way that not only we would be transformed in this place, but the place around us would be transformed as well. Amen. So one of my prayers is that we would encounter God in such a way that not only we would be impacted by God, but the city of Atlanta would be impacted by God because of this moment, this time, and this hour. Amen. We need to have an encounter with God. Amen. And we need to encounter him in community. But I want us to look at this thing, this encounter that Peter has here, because I think it's something that we need to understand in this encounter, because within this encounter, Jesus demonstrates some things that we really need to look at and really need to know about. Amen. And I'm an amen preacher. I love to say amen. Amen. So when I just say amen, you give me a hearty amen back. All right. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, what I find pretty interesting here is that when he teaches from this boat, and after he teaches from the boat, he looks at Peter and tells Peter, hey, let's put out from the shore into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And I find that kind of interesting because notice Jesus does not ask Peter. Come on, somebody. He doesn't say, Peter, would you please go out to deep water today and let's go fishing for a little while. He doesn't tap him on the back and kind of quietly and politely. No, Jesus sternly says, hey, put out in the deep water, Peter. Let's go fishing. And what is amazing to me is Peter's response. I think at first Peter has just a natural response. We all would have a natural response because you got to understand something, that Jesus is a teacher. He's a rabbi. And so in Peter's mind, he's saying, hey, you're a rabbi. When did you become a fisherman? And all of a sudden it's almost like Peter saying, how can you tell me how to do my job? You ever had that situation before, that you encounter somebody and they're trying to tell you how to do that your job and they don't know nothing about your job? Amen. Somebody know what I mean, what I'm talking about? I kind of compare that to what I call those backseat drivers. Anybody had them backseat drivers? Them folks that become expert drivers, I mean, know how to parallel park, they'll tell you how to turn left, right. They can do everything fine when they're in the back seat, amen? And they just get on my nerves. Sometimes I'm like, hey, you just drive, you know, leave the car running. Just go on and get the wheel, you know? But this kind of shows us what Peter's thinking, because his response is, hey, master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so. Somebody say, you say so. but because you say so. So that tells me that there was something that Peter saw in Jesus, because he's saying, hey, if it was anybody else, I would say, forget this, you're crazy. But I've already seen you do a lot of crazy things, so I got to expect something this time. Amen? So he kind of goes along for this fishing trip. Amen? Which brings me to the first thing I want you to see here about what Jesus demonstrates in this encounter. First of all, I think he demonstrates what he desires and loves to do in demonstrating is his provision. God loves to demonstrate his provision to his people. Amen? God delights in providing from us. And some of you are here at this conference because God provided. Amen? Well, all of us are here at this conference because God provided. Amen? The scripture says, and my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? I remember many instances of how God provided for me in college, especially during those times where I needed that financial aid money. Anybody know what I mean? You know, and some of you getting ready to go back and you're kind of wondering how you're going to get back in right now. I got some folks in the house and you're looking for God to provide. Well, let me tell you something. God delights in showing up and providing for his people. Amen. In many instances, many testimonies, I could tell you how God provided for me. One time I needed $4,000 to continue to go to school and didn't have it. And ended up showing up at this prayer meeting. And while I was in the midst of this prayer meeting, after the meeting was over, a young gentleman tapped me on the shoulder and said, I don't know what's going on here, but God just told me that I need to give you some money. I said, wow, praise the Lord. I said, you don't know. He said, how much you need? I said, well, you know, I don't. He said, man, just be real. How much you need? I said, $4,000. And this gentleman said, well, come to my house. I'll write the check. Amen. Glory to God. And God provided. To him be the glory. Amen. God delights in providing. Jesus wants to demonstrate his provision. But not only that, the thing that I love about this situation is that Jesus is in the boat fishing with Peter. Now, this is amazing to me because he's in actually with Peter. Notice Jesus does not stand on the shore and tell Peter where to go, but he gets into the boat and fishes with him. What that tells me about Jesus is that he is not some God that stands aloof or far away from us, unconcerned and unattached about our situations, but he is a God that steps right into the midst of our situation, right into our mess and our situations, amen, and reveals himself to us and transforms us right in the process of our circumstances. And we see this situation happen where Peter goes fishing with Jesus. And Jesus is directing Peter. And all of a sudden, this great miracle happened. Let's look at this in 5:6. It says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that the boat began to sink. Somebody say sink. In other words, they were catching so many fish that these nets were breaking. And these were strong nets. They would use these nets all the time. And even when they came and signaled the partners, this community, all of a sudden they put the fish on the boat and the boat began to sink. This must have been an amazing miracle. Amen. And in the midst of this, I think Jesus was trying to demonstrate to Peter his unconditional love. Amen. God delights in demonstrating his love to us. Amen. And listen to the response here. After this had happened, listen what happens. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Listen, my question is, who told Peter that he was sinful? Do you know? Who told him that? All of a sudden, he says, I'm a sinful man. Let me get a drink of water, please. Well, I feel like I'm in a desert. Glory to God. Woo! The water of the Spirit. Amen. Who told Peter that he was a sinful man? Who told them that? Let me tell you something about love. Love will always draw you to repentance. Amen. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Amen. And it showed that what Jesus was demonstrating to him is that how much he loved him, that he was willing to provide for all of his needs. And in the midst of this love, he began to see himself. See, let me show you something. The closer you look into the eyes of Jesus, the more you see your own depravity and your own fallen sin. The Bible said that we have all fallen short in sin to the glory of God. But in the midst of this, Jesus demonstrates his love. For the Bible says, for God loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And then it says, for God did not send the son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. Amen. Love does not condemn. Amen. But love brings you to conviction to bring you to repentance. Amen. And that's the great thing about this. Peter sees this awesome demonstration of love. And in the midst of it, he sees his own sinful depravity. And the first thing that he does when he sees this, he says, "Away from me, Lord, go away from me, for I am a sinful man." Now, why is it that Peter tells him to go away from him? Why is it that he says, go away? You see, I believe sometime in our lives, because we're searching and seeking for someone to love us, and not all of us has not had the best relationships or best examples of love. Amen. And you sought for love, and you found this conditional love that was based on what you gave to somebody else. Amen. And in the midst of that, you have found pain instead of being loved by somebody. Amen. Somebody have hurt you or broke your heart or let you down. And you're saying, I don't want to love again because it's too painful. Or it hurts too bad. So when real love shows up, all of a sudden, we shun it because we are afraid of the pain that it may cause. Because we've never been really loved before, we don't know how to embrace this kind of love. And so Peter is this sinful person going on in these things going on in his life. And all of a sudden, when real unconditional love shows up on the scene, he says, away, I'm not worthy of this. I don't deserve this. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You're right when you say you didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve it, but it was the grace of God that he did it anyway. Amen. That he loved us anyway, despite of ourselves. Amen. And the thing that I love about this, even when Peter recognizes his own sinfulness and is just ashamed of what he is and what he's becoming, he tells Jesus to get away from me, leave me. But the thing that I love is Jesus does not leave. Somebody says he does not leave. Jesus does not leave, but he stays right there where he is. You see, you've had people in your life that's left you, amen? That's abandoned you, amen? That's even said some things about you. But let me tell you something about Jesus. He will never leave you nor forsake you, amen? He will not abandon you, amen? But he'll stand his ground. He'll stay right there in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your own sinfulness, and love you despite of that. Amen. For the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. And the Bible also says that he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Jesus knows your state, but he loves you anyway and wants to cover you with his blood. Amen. I was listening to a person's testimony, and they were talking about this situation where felt like they were without hope, and they had hit the bottom of the bottom. This person said, man, he was involved in drugs, and he was doing all this horrible stuff and stealing and these horrible things he said he was doing, and his life had gotten so bad that people would treat him like an animal. He said that people would put him in a cage and lock him up in this cage as he was strung out on these drugs, and he would act like an animal, and they would feed him raw meat through the cage. And he said, I've become an animal. I felt like it was no way that nobody could ever love me. But then Jesus showed up in his situation. Despite his sinfulness, despite the things that he'd ever done in his life, Jesus wrapped his arms around and said, I love you. I love you so much that I died for you. And Jesus is saying the same thing to you tonight. I don't care what you've done. There's no sin too great that Jesus will not forgive you of and heal you of. Amen. Jesus will say, I love you. And he demonstrates his love. And listen to this. He tells him, he says, Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. I love this because what it shows me is that Jesus forgives him. Amen. He demonstrates his forgiveness. Amen. You know, I like this about forgiveness. I was praying one day, and in the midst of my prayer, I was just calling out to the Lord, and the Lord gave me this amazing revelation. He said this. He said that, do you know, in heaven, heaven is perfect. Heaven is without flaw or without blemish. Heaven is perfect and complete. But he said there is one in heaven that has scars. Do you know that Jesus has scars? That he is the only one in heaven with scars. That it's got to be baffling to the angels, because when they see this, they look at themselves and they don't see any scars. But they look at the God of the universe, of all creation, and he has scars. But let me tell you something about this. Those scars is not to remind him of this pain, but it's to remind you of the price. That Jesus paid the price for your sins. Amen. For the Bible says that he was bruised for your iniquities. Thank you. He was bruised for your iniquities and he was pierced for your transgressions. Amen. And we've got to understand that that punishment that brought us peace, it says, was upon him. We've got to understand that Jesus paid the price for us. Amen. He paid the price for us. And we've got to understand that he desires that we would be forgiven. That we would truly be forgiven. He wants to forgive you. I don't care what you've done. Some of you have even had a hard time forgiving yourself. You don't know if you can forgive yourself for some of the things you've done. Let me tell you something. Jesus wants to forgive you. And once you embrace his forgiveness, you'll have the power and strength and the grace to forgive yourself. Amen. He is extending his forgiveness to you at this night, this time. Amen. He demonstrates his forgiveness. And in the midst of this, one of the things that I began to see, which brings me to the second reason I think we're here, is that Jesus wants us to understand who he is. But not only that, he wants us to live out this gospel message, this message of Christ, as it reshapes our identity. See, one of the things that I think Peter had a serious revelation here is because he began to understand and recognize Jesus' authority. See, Jesus didn't take Peter fishing just so they could catch a bunch of fish and talk about it. Amen. He took Peter fishing so he could show Peter, hey, Peter, I'm the one that creates the fish. Amen. I have power over the fish. Amen. And if you follow me and trust in me, you'll never need fish again. Amen. Because I'll provide it for you. Amen. And so in light of this, Peter begins to recognize Jesus' lordship, that he is over all things. Amen. And Peter because of this encounter he has with Jesus, he is totally transformed. It says that Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed him. Amen. They left everything and followed him. Peter understood that his identity was not hooked up into being a fisherman. Amen. His identity was not hooked up into things. Amen. But his identity was in Christ Jesus. You need to understand that tonight. That your identity does not consist in things, but true life is found in Jesus. Amen. If you really want to live for Jesus. Amen. And let me tell you something. This whole thing of provision and abundance, I could just hear it in their minds when they got all of these fish thinking, man, we're never going to have to work again. We can sell all these fish and we can make a load of money. We're going to be taken care of forever. But if you look in the scripture, they never got to enjoy the fish. Did you see that? Listen, listen. Sometime God will let you get what you want. Sometime he'll take you up and give you all the abundant possessions and wealth that you need. And at the moment, at the height of where you are, he will call you out of it. He will call you out of it, just like he called them out of it. And you got to ask yourself, are you willing to lay down things aside to follow Jesus? Is your identity in stuff or is it in him? Is your identity in your career or is it in the cross? Where are you? And the thing that I love here is that in the midst of this encounter, he gives them purpose. He tells Peter here, don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to fish for people. You're going to fish for men. You're going to have a purpose in life. Amen. God delights in giving us purpose. Amen. He delights in giving us hope and a future. Amen. Providing for us, but giving us purpose. You see, when you have an identity, when you know who you are and you know where you're going, when you got purpose in mind, you can lay down things to follow him. Amen. And so in the midst of this, Jesus is helping Peter understand who he is in light of him. He's helping Peter to see that, hey, your life is not about just being a fisherman, but I want you to be a fisher of men. Somebody say fisher of men. And I think that God is calling many of us to understand who we are in him. You see, some of our identities are just jacked up, if we want to be honest. Amen. We don't know who we are or whose we are. Amen. And so we're looking constantly for somebody to tell us who we are. But it's when Jesus shows up on the scene, it's only when we can really understand whose we are and who we are. Amen. And the thing that I love about this is that now that he has purpose in mind, he understands who he is. He has the boldness and the courage to leave things behind to follow Jesus. You see, you have to understand that Jesus loved you so much that he gave his own life for you. And not only did he give his own life, he died on the cross and bled for you. Amen. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. Amen. That you could be justified. That you could have a fresh start and a new beginning. That you can lay down that old life and pick up that new life and follow him. Tonight, if you hear and you don't know where you are with God, I want to let you know that Jesus is here tonight, that you would encounter him in such a way that your whole life would be changed and be brand new. Amen. God is a God of second chances. Amen. And I love him for that. Amen. And not only that, but Jesus gives him purpose. He gives Peter direction for his life. And Jesus wants to do the same. He wants to give you purpose and direction for your life. One of the things I want you to ask yourself, it's, are you letting him? Are you letting him, or are you in control of your own destiny? Are you in control of your own life? Are you trying to hold everything together because you think you can do it? You see how we do it? We try, it's like a balancing act. We try to hold all this stuff up. We got our classes. We have our professors breathing down our throats, not to mention our family problems. And let's not talk about their relationship. Amen. We've got all of these things and we're trying to hold all these things up and it's straining us. And we feel like our legs are giving out under us. And at the same time, we try to smile and hold it together. Where inside of us, there's this deep empty void, this deep longing that we need to be filled with something more. And at the same time, we're trying to hold these things together. But I'm reminded of God's word. For Jesus says, come all to me who are heavy laden and burdened down, and I will give you rest. Amen. Jesus says he wants to give you rest. He says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Amen. But the thing is, a lot of times we are afraid. We are afraid to embrace this life that Jesus offers us. And also we are prideful. Sometimes our pride gets in the way and we say, I can do it myself. I can do a good job of it. But what we need to understand that we need Jesus to intervene in our life. More than ever before, we need Jesus in this hour. Amen. The temptations that we face on our campus, the craziness and drama that's going on in our homes and with our families, we need Jesus. We need him in our lives. And we can't be afraid to ask him for a touch. Amen. I had the opportunity to go to Ghana, Africa this summer. Amen. Hey, praise the Lord. Wonderful opportunity. And in the midst of going on this mission trip, we went to a place called Cancun National Rainforest, a beautiful rainforest in Africa, in Ghana. And we went to this rainforest, and they had this thing called the Swinging Bridge. This bridge was about at least 80 feet up in the air. And we were on this bridge, and all of us decided to walk across this bridge. And let me tell you, it wasn't just one bridge, but it was seven bridges. Somebody say seven. Seven bridges. And the thing about these bridges, man, is they were rope bridges. Yeah, they were rope, and they had planks in them, you know, and it was swing and sway. How many people don't like heights? Yeah, y'all wouldn't like this. I mean, it was up there. Some folks that are here that went to Ghana, they know what I'm talking about. And it was way up in there, and these bridges would just swing and sway. And my wife, she don't like heights. She decided she was going to get brave and bold and go on out there, man. And she took one step, two step, and the third step, she said, God didn't call me to this. The Lord ain't in this. Amen. And you know, my son, man, he's such a just a little bit brave warrior. He said, Daddy, I want to go across the bridge. And I said, okay, son, we'll go. I said, me and you will go together. And I told my son, I said, I want you to get in front of me. And he got in front of me. And I said, I know. Like, yeah, get in front of me, son. You lead the way. And he gets in front of me. I'm holding his shoulder, you know. And I'm telling him, I'm like, son, you know, look straight ahead. Just look at the next stage. Look over there, the next platform. Don't look down. Whatever you do, don't look down. He's like, okay. And he's just, you know, going and taking little steps. And he gets across the first bridge, and I encourage him. And then he goes and takes some more steps, and he gets across the second bridge. And he does well. And I'm saying, good job, son. We got at least five more bridges to go. Whole time I'm like, Lord. And we're walking, and we get on this third bridge. And at the third bridge, he's walking across this bridge, and it begins to sway. And it begins to sway more than all other bridges that we were across. And it just goes left and right and swing. And all of a sudden, my son just gets there in the middle of the bridge, and he just stops. And he freezes. And he begins to go, oh! And he starts to panic, man. And as he begins to panic, I'm starting to panic, you know, because I don't want him to start moving. He's panicking. He's crying. And everybody's like, is he okay? I'm like, no, he's not okay. Call 919, 911. Somebody come down here and help us. Send a chopper. And my son, he's panicking, man. And man, he begins to cry. And as he's crying, he's saying, Daddy, Daddy, you know, he's just crying and panicking. And he's starting to scream. And he says this, he says, Daddy, pick me up, pick me up. And I said, son, I can't pick you up because there's a regulation here. I can't have you above my waist, amen? And I'm like, I can't do that. And he's starting to cry even more. And he's saying, pick me up, Daddy. And I'm sitting there, and I'm standing there, I'm trying to figure out what to do. But in the midst of that, he said this, and I'll never forget it. He said, Daddy, if you just touch me, I will be okay. And let me tell you something. In the midst of what he said, God began to speak to me in that moment. And he said, Harvey, no matter what your situation is, no matter what trials you go through, no matter how it shakes, no matter how afraid you get, if you say, just touch me, it will be okay. I want to let you know here tonight that if you cry out to Jesus and you ask him to give you a touch, he'll make it okay. He'll make it all right. And in the midst of this situation, he's crying and he's panicking. And I say, son, I need you to look at me. And he begins to look at me. And I say, son, look here, look at me. I said, what I want you to do is I want you to put your feet on my feet. I want you to put your hands around my waist. And we're going to get through this together. And let me tell you, Jesus will say the same thing to you. He'll say, I want you to put your feet on my feet. Put your hands around my waist. And we're going to get through this together. Let me tell you something. You don't have to be afraid. Jesus wants to walk with you through this journey. And he says, I will not let go of your hand. Amen. But I will be with you through it, through everything. He will not forsake you or leave you. He is one that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. And I don't care what you've gone through, how much you've gone through it. Tonight, Jesus wants to heal you of it. Amen. He wants to come in the midst of your situation tonight. And he wants to show you his love. He wants to show you his provision. He wants you to have a true, genuine encounter with him, so much so that you will be transformed. I don't know what you came here for tonight, but tonight, if you don't know Jesus, you can leave this place changed. Amen. You can leave this place a new creation. Amen. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to have pride. Tonight, you can embrace Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Tonight you can know him. Why put it off? Do you know that you are here because Jesus brought you here? Do you know that you are here because at this moment he is speaking to you right now? He is saying, open up your heart and let me in. I know it's been hard. I know you've gone through some things, but it's enough. The time is enough that you've trusted in yourself long enough. Now you need to trust in me. Now you need to turn it over to me. Amen. Tonight can be a new night for you. Amen. And Jesus wants to give you that. Amen. I want you just to bow your head just for a moment. Just for a moment. I don't know where you are, what's been going on in your life, but I know the God that we serve is able to just come in the midst of right where you are, hold you and love you, encourage you, and give you new life and a fresh start. Amen? That you don't have to leave this place feeling the same way you came in. Amen? You can leave this place changed tonight if you let Jesus take hold of your hand, if you let Jesus touch you, if you let Jesus embrace you, if you take hold of this life that he offers. Jesus loved you so much that he died for you. He loved you so much that he rose for you, that you could experience this eternal life. I don't know, many of you might be here tonight and you will say, Harvey, I don't know where I would be. If I was to die tonight, I don't know where I would be. I don't know if I would be in heaven with God. Tonight, you can know that. You can be assured of where you're going to go when you die. You can have eternal life with God. Listen, my father-in-law went home to be with the Lord 2 weeks ago. A healthy man, good, healthy, slipped on some ice, broke his hip. After the hip surgery, just like that, he died. Let me tell you something. God promises a lot of things, but one thing that he does not promise is tomorrow. Who knows where you'll be when you lay down in your bed tomorrow? Do you know if you're going to be alive tomorrow? Don't take a chance. Don't gamble with your soul. Amen. Tonight, if you know that you don't know Jesus, if you're not sure, if you're 99% sure, that's not enough. Tonight, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, tonight you can know him. And I don't know, you might be at a place where you've been walking with the Lord and you fell away from him. Tonight you can come back to him. Amen. Don't leave this place unchanged. You can be transformed tonight. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want you to be serious with God, just you and God, right where you are. Be honest with him. If you know in your heart of hearts, just being honest with the Lord, and you will say, Harvey, I know if I die tonight, I just don't know where I would be. I'm not sure that I would be in heaven with God. I'm a good person, but I just don't know if I would be with Him. Or you could say, Harvey, I felt like I was living for God, but I've fallen away. If you were to ask me when has Jesus impacted my life, I couldn't even tell you when, because it's been so long since I've served Him. If I'm talking to you right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just lift your hand up quickly. I'm not picking on you. If I'm talking to you, your hand's going up all over the place. Yeah, if I'm talking, just be honest with God. Just be honest with God. Just be honest with Him. You're saying, Harvey, I don't know where I would be if I were to die tonight. You're just being honest with God. You're just being real with Him. You would say, Harvey, hey, I was living for Him, but I just kind of walked away from Him. I'm not serving Him. For everybody that's raised their hands, look up here at me just real quick. Just look up here at me. Let me tell you something. Jesus wants to give you a new start. He wants to give you a new beginning. He wants to give you a second chance. He wants to show you His love. Tonight you can know that. Tonight you can be assured of your salvation. Tonight you can have this hope, which is eternal life. Tonight you can know Him. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Amen? Listen, right where you are, if you want to be honest with God, and if you want Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, if you really want Him in your heart, if you really want to start this conference off right, if you want Him, for those that raise their hand, look up here at me. I'm asking you to do one thing. Just come right up this altar, right down here in the middle of this aisle, walk right up here and meet me, right here, so that you can know the Lord. Come on. Come on. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Come on. If you know you need Jesus, come on. If you know that you need a new start, a new beginning, if you know that you need hope, if you need Him tonight, come forward. Don't wait. Nobody has promised you tomorrow. Come on. Quickly. 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 Jesus is tugging at your heart right now. Don't put it off. It's no need to be afraid. It's no need to be afraid. Don't let your pride stop you from making the greatest decision in your life. If you need Him tonight, come forward tonight. Come forward. People are still coming. I want those out here in this audience to just pray as folks come forward. As their lives are starting over again, as they're getting a new start, as they're embracing Christ. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? I sense it's just some more people that's just kind of, you're just in this turmoil struggle right now. You're afraid because you don't think you got the strength to live for Him. But let me tell you something. Jesus will give you the strength to do it. He'll give you the grace to do it.